I'm on a board. Yeah, he's been off the wagon 2 years.
Off the wagon?
I think it's off the wagon.
I think it's on the wagon.
You're back on the wagon.
Right off the wagon.
What the hell do you know about wagon?
I know enough not to get on them.
Told you.
It's time to get on or get off. Play some bandwagon.
Bandwagon.
All right, Sean. The nature boy, Ric Flair.
Woo!
Has something new coming out called Flair Spirits. Flair Vodka. Flair Gin. Flair Bourbon. Flair Tequila. And Flair Woo Ski.
Oh, my goodness. How has this not existed already? Like, after all these years, you'd think that would have been, like, the first thing he got into.
Well, you know, Hulk Hogan has beer.
Yeah.
So Ric Flair's got booze.
Yeah. I don't hate him for it.
Woo Ski.
I don't know about the Woo Ski. We'll see. We'll see.
Now, you're going to buy one of each of these just to try it because of Woo Ric Flair. Are you on or off the bandwagon?
One of each?
One of each.
I'm off the bandwagon.
Well, one of the stuff that you drink. Like, if you don't drink gin, okay, I can see you not buying the gin.
But I will buy the Woo Ski for sure.
The Woo Ski.
I'll have the Woo Ski and a Coke. No doubt, all day.
And a cola.
And a cola. A liter of cola. A liter of cola. I'll have it. No, I'm on the bandwagon for sure. I will try. I like the, the 3.5% Hulk Hogan beer. Like, I'm not all about that. I might as well go buy Milwaukee's Best or Keystone.
Milwaukee's
or something
Beast.
Like that. Yeah. But the Wooski, I'm all about.
Little Schaefer. Little Schlitz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Little Schlitz. That takes me back.
Genesee.
I will definitely try that. Lil B, I don't know if you are partaking the spirit drink realm, but...
My beer is
buying
Rhine
this?
Gold.
I'll try the tequila.
You try the tequila?
Yeah, I don't drink all the time, but I do like tequila shots, so I'll be down for the tequila.
All right. That's something. Man, you and the tequila. My wife would be down for the tequila, too.
So, here's the thing. I drink everything but the gin.
Yeah?
But I have relatives who drink the gin. That when they came down, I would go buy the gin.
Yeah. Or but, just get it from up here.
The
free booze.
Vodka? Yes. Tequila? Yes. Bourbon? Yes. And of course, gotta try the limited edition collector bottle. Woo-ski.
So the Woo-ski's different than, you just said they have a, he has
it's
a bourbon?
Different than the bourbon, yes.
Okay. I'd try the bourbon, too.
I'm totally in on this.
Yeah.
It's got to be better than the Hulk Hogan beer.
Is that out? Like, officially out? Or
not
out
yet. Coming soon.
All right.
I have heard that... I have not had the Hulk Hogan beer, but I have heard it is...
Ass. Could have told you that one. All day drinker. Yeah.
All right. Number two. Is Tom Brady considering coming out of retirement?
No!
Well, it'd be interesting because, right, he's now a part owner of the Raiders. He would have to give up his ownership if he's going to play.
Well,
but
you know, he would have to give up the broadcasting thing if he's going to play.
Why, that too.
Why couldn't you own and play?
I don't think you can own and play.
Why?
You got a player CBA. How does that doesn't fit in the CBA?
You can only choose one side and vote on that side.
So... Tom Brady, who has won five Super Bowl MVPs, seven Super Bowls, three MVPs, 15 Pro Bowls, six All Pros, two Offensive Player of the Year.
GOAT!
Well, supposedly he might want an Olympic gold medal.
Oh boy, here we go.
According to reports... With flag football set to make its Olympic debut in 2028, Tom Brady reportedly wants to play for Team USA. According to the report, he wants the gold medal. And what better way to be the GOAT in return of the sport he loves by helping his country win gold? He knows he'd be able to help and excel in that environment since his life is very scheduled and he still maintains a tight regimen. Many things could fall into place for him around that time. With the Olympics being in L.A., he wouldn't have to travel far. And it would culminate, obviously, in one of the best birthdays ever. He's still in tremendous shape. But does he want to play? Now, here's the thing. He's 47.
How could he play, though?
It's flag football.
Yeah, but under the stipulations that have still yet to be decided, like, those players have to come from one of the NFL teams.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean?
The NFL has agreed to let players play in it.
Uh-huh.
But they don't all, like, it's not mandated they have to be NFL players.
Oh, they could be like UFL, college.
Yeah, they could just, you know, the idea of just NFL players are permitted because the NFL would have to allow them to play. Otherwise, they would all be disqualified. Brady would be 50 by the time the 28 Olympics come around. But could you imagine with everything he has accomplished to then also add on, oh, and I got this shiny, fat gold medal.
Yeah.
So, you would 100% watch Olympic flag football if Tom Brady was the quarterback. Are you on off the bandwagon?
On the bandwagon. And he's got to find a way to actually do it, right? Do you think he's going to let, like, Eli Manning, you know, win an Olympic gold medal before he does? Or, like, Philip Rivers or somebody else that, like, Michael Vick. Michael Vick's coming out of retirement. He's going to help win the gold for Team USA.
Phil is the only one who didn't win a Super Bowl. They should really try to help him win the gold because he didn't win a Super Bowl.
I mean,
he's got like 11 kids to feed, right?
That's low-hanging fruit. I don't think there's any way Tom Brady does, but I would like to see it. I would definitely watch it. I think I might watch anyway. Like, Justin Jefferson's all about it. If one of the best receivers in the game's all about it, I have to believe, like, other top players are as well.
Could you imagine Justin Jefferson catching dimes from Tom Brady?
I could.
Would that be a touchdown literally every single play?
Yes, almost.
I mean, who outside of the NFL can cover Justin Jefferson?
Hell,
what three people outside of the NFL could cover Justin Jefferson?
Now you're going to have me looking at, like, the origin of, like, some of the best cornerbacks and safeties in the NFL.
But they
like,
ain't playing. They're not from, you know, whatever other country. They're all from here.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, who's going to rival Team USA in the Olympics in a few years? Was it 2028?
28.
Yeah. I'm all about it, though. I'm definitely watching Tom Brady.
I'm 100% on, but it's like what y'all just said. I just want to see how other countries match up against us. Like, let's say our three wideouts is like Tyreek Hill, Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, who's stopping that?
I want to see if the U.S. can score 100 points every game.
I don't know if it's going to be Tyreek Hill in 3 years, though.
Right? Just like how the original Dream Team, you know, when the NBA players came out and they just blasted everybody by like 50 points.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see if the U.S. goes out there and just scores 100 points in every game because you know nobody could possibly keep up with them.
Now, do these guys have to play both ways?
No. It's flag football. So
flag football.
Yeah, you don't have to play both ways.
Like, I don't know that I've ever not played both ways in flag football.
Well, look, just because you go both ways doesn't mean everybody else does.
No, you should go both ways.
Yeah, I try to only go one way.
So what's a roster size going to be? Like, these are all things they have to decide upon.
Yeah, that's to be decided upon. But, yeah. Man, if Brady's the quarterback, there will be that would be the biggest draw of every – Tom Brady quarterback, that is literally you're getting massive, massive draw. The whole country, every football fan in this country, of which is like 90% of this country, they are going to watch Tom Brady be the quarterback.
Better chance Tom Brady's the quarterback or Pat Mahomes?
I don't think Mahomes will be the quarterback. I don't think Mahomes is going to put himself out there. He's more worried about getting a ring.
Lamar.
Same thing.
No current NFL quarterback. Would you put a current NFL quarterback ahead of Tom Brady?
If I were an NFL GM,
mm-hmm.
There's no way in hell I'd let my starting quarterback go to the Olympics.
What if it's Deshaun Watson?
Well, he's not my starting quarterback.
Could you imagine? What if it's Deshaun Watson? It's like, yeah, I got to pay the sucker anyway, but we really don't want him to play for us. So,
go ahead. Go. Assuming that your teammates don't give you a code red.
His contract, they'd be out of that contract by 28, though.
Yes, I think they got two more years of hell.
Yeah.
and then they're going to catch another year of hell after they let him out of it and have to accelerate all that money to the cap.
See, the Team USA quarterback is going to be like the sixth alternate, like of the Pro Bowl. You know, there's a good chance it could be Deshaun Watson because of that.
You know, but I think it'd be hilarious if it's Philip Rivers. Didn't win the Super Bowl, but he's going to get a Goldie. Let's go.
That'd be awesome.
Obviously, I'm on the bandwagon.
All right.
Number three. Don't be a what?
A bia.
Oh, no. Much worse. A woman almost landed in jail because she had a bumper sticker with a very bad word on it.
Hmm.
The bumper sticker said, live, laugh, love, and it was crossed out with a red line. And then it said, don't be a...
bleeper?
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Ah, yeah. That's a naughty one.
That's a doozy. That's a word that, like, you just don't say. That's,
yeah.
That's one of,
it's
like...
one of the seven dirty words.
The ultimate
yeah.
bad words.
Mm-hmm.
So, Georgia Venables, well, she's found herself getting hauled off to court because her Peugeot... was found to be in possession of what were called weaponized bumper stickers.
What is a Peugeot?
A Peugeot is a French automobile.
Oh.
I'm looking to see if it says where this happened.
Probably in France.
She found herself getting pulled over by the same constable because one of her stickers used that C word.
But it was crossed out, right?
No, that wasn't crossed out. Oh. Live, laugh, love was crossed out.
Oh.
She's describes herself as a part-time rebel and full-time car decorator. Said she wanted to give her car a little personality and humor, but instead she was accused of causing harassment, alarm, and distress to the point where she was almost put on trial before the case was dropped. Among the 40 messages she had on her car were, if my driving offends you, F off. Caution, watch out for the idiot behind me. And then an illustration of Donald Duck flipping the bird.
These are all good. Solid.
However, don't be a see you next Tuesday, apparently, was the one that got her in trouble. For 2 years, she's had the car. She spent 80 euros... or 80 pounds, I don't know if that's a pound or a euro because the resolution is not great, on her stickers. It's about, say, let's say 2 pounds for every sticker.
Oh, she's going to get fined for all of them?
According to a survey carried out by her, no one is offended by her display. She said, I once had an old man outside the supermarket standing, reading them and laughing. He said I had a good sense of humor. I put them on because I like how they looked. I never put them on to offend anybody. Now, I will tell you, her stickers are not as offensive as her face.
Oh. That's mean.
She got a bulldog face. So she said she's been stopped in the past, and the officer asked her to remove it, so she did. But then she said, I was stopped for no reason. I was told this is getting summoned to court, and it was the same officer. She said, I just want the police to leave me alone and go about my life because I do like to go for a night drive. These cops were being see you next Tuesdays. Are you on or off the bandwagon?
On the bandwagon. Rob Torres co-signs that on the YouTube. It says, sounds like that constable should have taken the advice of the bumper sticker. I agree. The only way I could see around this, it was like why they would find it like inappropriate to have on a car is like if like they didn't want like kids to see those kinds of words, but you know, it's her personal property. Like put whatever the heck you want on your car. It doesn't matter to me. Like I don't understand the term offended, to be honest with you. I don't get offended by anybody that just has crap on their car or whatever. Do what you do, man. I'm all good with it. So, on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm on the bandwagon too. This cop was a definition of bored. He had nothing better else to do. Because like you said, the definition of being offended, I feel like just, you know,
people get offended by anything these days. So,
oh yeah, and what is it really?
Come yeah. On. So the definition
of feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And look, in other countries, they don't have the same right to free speech that we do.
True.
And in this country, you can fly a flag that says F the 46th president of the United States.
If the see you next Tuesday word was spelled with a K instead of the C, would it have made a difference in this case? Gets the point across, but it's
probably
not.
I don't think it makes a difference. I think it's still the same word.
Oh.
Although in this country, you know, it better be 1K.
True.
But,
yeah, good point.
Yeah, I think the cop was probably being a see you next Tuesday. Although I also think that our driver is also a see you next Tuesday.
Agreed.
So
I love that acronym, though.
Bandwagon? Yes.
Bandwagon.
That's all the time we got.
No! All right. Hope you enjoyed us playing the bandwagon with you. 713-572-4610. We got a couple segments left. It is Memorial Day. If you'd like to hit us up with a name close to you, somebody you're familiar with that paid the ultimate sacrifice, and you'd like to honor them on this day on this station, you can do those. 713-572-4610. Text them in. Call in, even, and we'll do it. We'll get back to a little Astro conversation, talk about what's upcoming for them next at Area 45. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Byron Matthews in for Chris Santiago. We're Area 45. Hit us up if you'd like to be in. 713-572-4610. Stros off today, back at it tomorrow. First of a two-game series at Daikin against the A's. It'll be Hunter Brown on the mound tomorrow. Lance McCullers Jr. to follow Wednesday. So that's what the next couple of games look like for the Astros, who entered today. Let's see, a game and a half behind the Mariners. So the Mariners are off today, PC. Good for the Stros. They can't gain any ground on Houston. But the Texas Rangers can lose more. And in fact, I do believe it's official. They have lost more ground on the Astros and the M's.
That game is final.
Just went final. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 2-1, or as you like to say, the
White Walkers defeated the Junk Grabbers.
Yes, 2-1. That is the only other game of consequence in the AL West today. With again, as I said, the
Aroldis Garcia off. Is down to eighth.
Is he batting worse than one former Astro named Martin Maldonado these days?
I don't know if Maldi's still in the league.
Well, when Maldi was up until about 3 weeks ago then, who I think was sporting about a 199 batting average at the time.
I think Maldi got released. He's with the Padres now.
Yeah.
He's hitting 176.
We gave him the video tribute when the Padres came in a few weeks ago.
No, so Adolis Garcia is hitting 215. But you know who is hitting worse than Martin Maldonado?
Hayward.
Marcus Semien.
Oh, Marcus Semien.
He's hitting 174. He has been a wreck this year. You know, that's a guy. I mean, Marcus Semien's a really good player.
He's a very expensive player as well.
And he's 34 now. But, I mean, the year they won the World Series, he had 276. He had 29 homers, 100 ribs. He had 40 doubles. He stole 14 bags. He had an 826 OPS. Last season, his average went from 276 to 237. His OPS went from 826 to 699.
Yeah. You know what number's not going to change for him? Is the amount of money owed to him through the 2028 season.
Hey, guess whose problem that's not?
Not the Astros. It's the Rangers. They're paying this guy $26 million a year until, through the 28 season, which will be his age 37 season.
In 187 at-bats this year, he's hitting 176 with a 496 OPS. That is Maldi territory.
All right, so if he was a Houston Astro, would you be saying, now hold on, be patient with this guy, he's going to come around, he's got to be patient, He's figuring some things out, and it's early.
Considering he had such a massive fall off the year before, and now we're having another massive fall off, I'd be very worried about him.
Yeah.
But he's 34. This would be back-to-back seasons of huge, cratering drops in production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is scary as hell. I don't know if he's dealing with an injury and it's quiet, or what, you know, if there's some kind of extenuating circumstance that's causing him to struggle as much as he is. But this guy's been their leadoff hitter for the last few years, and now he's batting ninth.
You know, it's wild looking at his career numbers, just going back to 2021. You know, slightly before that, too. And I guess I can do that, because 2020 was that, you know, lousy COVID year. But 19 led all the baseball in games played, did so again in 21, 22, 23, led all of baseball in plate appearances in 19, 21, 22, and 23. Same thing with the at-bats in 22 and 23. And in 23, he also led all of Major League Baseball in runs scored and in hits, with 185 hits in 2023. To have that kind of a drop-off from that season to now, what is it? I mean, are the Rangers literally experiencing the same thing that the Houston Astros did with Jose Abreu whenever they'd got him from the White Sox a couple of years ago? Like, okay, hey, here's a guy who's going to perennially be a 25, 30 home run guy, driving 100 runs, and then, boom, you just hit the wall.
It's possible.
Game over.
I mean, it is really, he's, if you follow WAR, right? He went from a 7-4 to a 4-1, and now he's a minus 0.4.
Led all of baseball in WAR, too, a couple of years
ago.
I mean,
that is a like catastrophic drop.
Yeah.
And you're like, is something going on that's causing this, or is he getting old overnight? And that really is a, when you consider how much money they still owe him.
Yeah.
Another example of why Jim Crane doesn't want to give out long-term contracts. Like, Marcus Semien signed this deal at 30 years old. He was coming off a season where he had 45 homers and 102 ribs, an 873 OPS, a 7-1 WAR. I mean, he just checked every box. 45 homers, 39 doubles. Even added in 15 stolen bases. I mean, you're talking about a guy who played shortstop. The junk grabbers sign him and move him to second base because they also signed Cody Bellinger.
Mm-hmm.
And first year, okay production, not what they wanted. 5-7 WAR, still really tremendous. I mean, I think he was elite defensively. 26 homers, 25 stolen bases. 2023, he puts up like serious all-star numbers.
Finished third in MVP.
2024 looks a lot like 2022, and only the power has dropped off a bit. And this year, it's just non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. You know, since we're talking about, like, hitting walls and stuff, do you think Boston Red Sox fans are freaking out about this Alex Bregman injury, the severe quad strain that he experienced a couple of days ago? Now, you know, having looked back at this, you and I were just talking about this during the break. Who'd you say? Alex Cora said that it's probably similar to the one that he experienced in 2021.
So Alex Cora's quote was that, you know, pretty much similar to what he experienced, same injury in 2021. And that cost him like 2 months and change.
He missed 60 games that season.
That's
it happened
2 months.
In June. It happened in June. He missed 60 games. I was just looking at the numbers when Alex Bregman in 2021 went through that injury here as an Astro. What he did when he came back versus what he had been doing. And the numbers might be somewhat, I would say, you know, enlightening in a good way for the Boston Red Sox fans, for fear of a guy like at his age who's 31 years old, and this is now, you know, multiple times in his career that he's had a significant leg injury. Well, when he missed those games in June of 2021, the first 18 games back for Alex Bregman, he hit lights out. He was hitting for power. He was driving in runs. And in fact, I'll expand it to 21 games. I expanded it to 21 games because he went hitless like in game 19, then had a couple more games with a hit. He was hitting 351, 927 OPS, three dingers, 17 ribs, only eight strikeouts and 77 at-bats. That's the Alex Bregman that we all came to know and love and now miss mightily, though far less than we would if Isak Paredes did not exist at third base now for the Houston Astros. But maybe that's a little glass half full way to approach things if you're a Boston Red Sox fan and wondering what kind of player can we expect from Alex Bregman coming off of a significant leg injury. Maybe, I guess it's a grade 2 quad strain is what you would qualify it as. And I started looking at this because, well, breaking news earlier today for a far younger individual in a different sport and gender for that matter, but Caitlin Clark suffered a quad strain, which has been classified as a grade 1. She's going to miss 2 weeks. Bregman's probably going to miss closer to what he did in 2021 now, mind you, at the age of 31 versus the age of 26, 27 when he first had this injury. Rafael Devers is not going to play third base for the Boston Red Sox.
No, because he's a biatch.
Well, there's that, which is undeniable at this point in time. But when Alex Cora was asked the other day, in fact, it was Friday, I happened to be sitting down watching the game with my boy. I missed the injury, but I watched most of the game after that. Cora was asked after the game, hey, so if Bregman's out for a significant period of time, who's going to be your third baseman? He said, quote, Sedan Rafaela can play third. Nick Sogard can play third. Abraham Toro can play third. We know Connor Wong can do it. In case of an emergency, we can move Christian Campbell to the outfield and Sedan to the infield and go from there. Like, four options before you even get to, and he didn't even get to, Rafael Devers, who that game, right after Alex Bregman went down, went and got 4 for 6, two homers, including a grand slam, drove in 8 guys, and has been absolutely tearing the cover off the ball prior to that and certainly since then. He's awesome. Maybe they're happy with where Rafael Devers is at right now, which is DH and batting second in the lineup. But with all those other options, dude, he threw Connor Wong and go Cougs. Wow, wow, wow. Connor Wong, who's hitting all of like 117 this season in playing sparingly with 7 hits for the Red Sox. He mentioned Connor Wong before Rafael Devers, the option of moving him to third base. That's pretty
Devers
wild.
Is just not going to play third base.
Wild. Well,
he's just, I am not playing the field full stop.
I guess they've agreed to disagree then, because not even including him as an option, like, never mind us even asking him or, negotiating here through from a media standpoint, like, because Devers has done that, I guess, all to himself. So maybe trying to keep some peace Alex Cora. Maybe
I mean, remember, he couldn't play first base because, well, they told me I'm not going to use my glove this year. So you want to play first base? No.
No.
So now it's
the
like,
team
hey,
needs you most.
The team
no.
needs you to go back to third base. No.
That's pretty wild. So they called up some, prospect.
He's a great hitter.
But great.
He's not a winning player. He's not a team player. He's all about himself. I'm sorry. I would trade his ass. I would trade his. Now, I'm not going to give him away like the Mavs gave away Luka, but I'm going to get myself the biggest possible freaking bidding war I can get for him, and I'm going to trade him because F that guy.
Yeah. They called up their number 2 prospect in the farm system, Marcelo Meyer from AAA.
See, that's the
kid. So they're going to roll with that dude.
That's the kid is the reason why they didn't want to give Bregman a long-term deal.
Yeah.
Because they knew that kid was going to be ready no later than next year. They love him.
Yeah, but I wonder, since now that Devers has decided to be a horse's ass, that maybe Bregman could still be in their long-term plans. This kid as well, you trade Devers, stock up your farm system after calling up this guy. Casas is injured. Is Casas done for the year? Casas is done for the year.
He's
right
done there. For a while. He's hurt.
Yeah, I can't remember. What did he? Was it the Achilles? I think he had an Achilles. I can't remember, but I know he's done for a significant amount of time. Maybe the Red Sox start thinking about this with Devers. And Devers is only helping the case by continuing to mash
baseballs.
He's got
a ruptured patella.
Oh, yeah.
He's done for the year.
That's right. That's right.
And, like, he's going to have to work his ass off to get back for the start of next year.
Yeah, that's no bueno for
him. That's a rough injury.
All right, final segment coming up next. We're Area 45. Stay there.
As we show each other the classic cars we want.
Yeah, dreaming during the break. I was telling PC during the break that the winner, I don't know that it's every year, but it's definitely every year the last 4 years, because I saw the post on Twitter, I think on the PGA's website this morning, at the winner of the Charles Schwab tournament every year, they give them what they call a brand new car. I don't know. I guess it's a fully restored version, but the winner yesterday got like a 1972. Is it a Range Rover or a Land Rover Defender?
Land Rover Defender.
A Land Rover Defender. And it's like the Houston Oiler blue, like the H-Town blue. And the year before that, it was a Stingray of some sort.
Like you said 71 Stingray.
71 Stingray. They did like a Camaro from a few years ago. And I guess they have to be fully restored. They're just some sweet-looking cars, man. So PC's a classic car nut. We were just kind of going through the wormhole of looking at badass cars that are surprisingly very affordable on whatever website you're looking at.
Yeah, some of them are pretty well. The price is pretty attractive. Others, the price is like, whoa!
Every day, PC shows me, like, dude, look at this badass car. Like, it's fully restored Vets or whatever, like some classic car for like 10 grand, 15 grand. I'm like, dude, hop on that. Let's go. And then come scoop me up and you take me to work every day. It'd be awesome. You get to my house a lot faster in something like that than you would in, just some regular old SUV. You know what I'm saying? To hell with the gas mileage. It's about efficiency.
Listen, in one of those old cars, I definitely need a really good lawyer.
We got them. We got lawyers. This Sports Radio 610's lawyered the hell up. We got lawyers if you need them. Tomorrow, Hunter Brown on the mound. Little closer to the old Hunter Brown that we're used to seeing than the one that we saw last time getting hammered in a minor league baseball park.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he got hammered when you give a 314-foot home run into the first row.
He pitches against the ass. I think you can hopefully rest the bullpen tomorrow. And maybe we get another step in the right direction from Lance McCullers on Wednesday. That's who you got coming up the next 2 days for the Stros as they continue the 10-game homestand that they're on right now. They're kind of working out of it, PC. I think we're starting to see that. Christian Walker, the last 5 games, he's hitting and hitting for power. Jose Altuve, the last handful of games, doing the same thing. What are we going to be watching, even without Yordan Alvarez? If Altuve gets going, if Walker gets going hot with Pena and Paredes doing their thing, and never mind the bottom of the order, they've been really consistent. I have to believe they've been one of the more consistent, like, 6 through 9 guys in the American League, whatever iteration you want to talk about, a Jake Myers, Mauricio Dubon, Victor Caratini, and Cam Smith. Oh, that's been really impressive, too.
Cam Smith, man. Cam Smith has come on, right? There was a point there where we were like, okay, Cam's got to either get on the horse here or they might have to look at moving him down, because he was down at like 208 and he was striking out a ton, and he just didn't look like the guy that we saw at any point in spring training. He just didn't seem to be comfortable in the box. Well, it's turned around for Cam Smith, who now has the average up to 261. And has his OPS up to 732. But more importantly, that 261 average comes with a 344 on base because he started to draw walks. And he's got 15 walks this season. He's got 3 homers, 6 doubles, and a triple. He's got 14 ribs, got 17 runs scored. As Cam has kind of found it at the plate for the last, week or so.
Let me tell you, I got those numbers. 13 games. The last 13 games since May the 11th.
Yes, that 6-0 win against Cincy.
So he's got 5 multi-hit games in the last 13 games. 17 hits, 7 runs scored, 4 RBI, But his batting average is 370. His on base is 420. His OPS has been 877 the last 13 games.
Now, keep in mind, going into that game, May 11th, he was hitting 205 with a 307 on base and a 659 OPS.
Mm-hmm.
205 became 261. 307 became 344. 659 became 732.
Beautiful.
So that is a really good improvement in 14 days.
Yeah, and look, he didn't have any homers, but he's got four doubles during that stretch too. And we're talking about a team that doesn't have a lot of extra base hits. And that team that doesn't have a lot of extra base hits that is, you know, been very slappy, you know, for much of the season. And now the last handful of games, they're starting to see a little bit of a power surge, whether it be Christian Walker, Jose Altuve, never mind what Isak Paredes has been doing in the last week and a half or so. I mean, he's been knocking the crap out of the ball. Dude, the middle of that order, as bad as the numbers are with the extra base hits, maybe they're coming. And with those guys hitting now, maybe we can start to see more production in the clutch, kind of like i.e. yesterday, Christian Walker walk-off two-run dinger. But guys on base, what's the number? I know the bases loaded numbers are terrible, but I think runners in scoring position, the averages, the power numbers there, they're probably equally as bad on the season for the Astros.
They are, but with two outs, like they've scored like nearly half their runs at two outs.
Yeah.
They are one of the best two out hitting teams in the league. It's, you know, like think about yesterday's game. It was the eighth inning. They have first and second, nobody out. They don't score. Strike out, fly out. Like I think the fact that they were not able to score with first and second, nobody out, drives you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got the home run the ninth. So they, you know, the home run kind of masks the fact that they should have scored the inning before and didn't.
Well, I saw you on Twitter. Was it yesterday where they had 13 hits or the day before where they put together 11 hits? It's like, come on, guys, like 11 hits.
Like two runs on 11 hits is insane.
That was it. Yeah, it was a couple of days ago. I mean, you're right, but I look at it like this way. At least they're starting to hit the baseball. At least they're, you know, putting together some better at-bats and being productive. Not to the level that we want to see them in terms of driving in runs, but maybe the bats are coming around. That's all I kind of want to see. I don't want to get too greedy too quickly because it's been a slog, man. They've been pelted here, whether it be from underperformance at some key spots in the order or pitching, you name it. It's been pretty impressive that they've been able to go 10-7 during the last 17 straight days of baseball.
And look, the way they pitch, man, we've had this conversation about four runs being the magic number.
It's true.
Like what their record projects at if they just score four runs every game. If the Astros could consistently get four or five runs every game, they're going to crush 90 wins.
On pace, I mean, look, for 86 as it is today?
In reality, we said this before the season. The Astros are probably a 93-win team if the starting pitching didn't get crushed by injury.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the starting pitching, of course, got crushed by injury, and now how do we piece it together? Well, they've pieced the starting pitching together well with the guys from the minors. The bullpen is held. They're just going to score some damn runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, let's hit the phones because
Norway, we can't keep Norway on hold, even if we are up against it. PK on Area 45 from Norway. What's up, dude?
What up, PK?
Hey, PC. Hey, Sean. Happy Memorial Day.
Yes, appreciate sir. You, brother.
You too.
Hey, man, this is unusual to call you this early. I just canceled my 2 a.m. alarm clock.
2 a.m. is a lot better for you than I would imagine 4:30 is.
Oh, yeah. So there's no show on tonight between 7 and 11, correct?
Correct.
No, they won't let us work more than 4 hours.
They don't want to pay us that much.
Womp, womp.
All right. Okay. Have you all back tomorrow with some maybe a happy recap.
Yes, tomorrow we're back in our regular slot.
Boom, the rest of the week. Yes, sir. And hopefully the happy recap
speak
follows.
That into existence, yeah. The happy recap.
Shout out to all the veterans, including my great uncle, Curtis Burford, who actually survived the attack. He was in the Navy, torpedo man, first class. He survived the attacks on Pearl Harbor and served throughout the entire World War II.
Wow.
In the Navy.
Wow.
Yeah, let's definitely tip of the cap to him.
Big salute to him, PK. Appreciate you calling in with that.
Tip of the cap to so many. Okay, thanks, you guys. Thanks for working and not being lazy.
Yeah, not lazy buddy. Here, brother. Appreciate you, man. He's calling from freaking Norway.
At 2 a.m., he said. Usually 4:30 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, he gets us on, you know, we're on 7 to 11.
Yep.
We're back at 7 to 11. Mañana.
Tomorrow, coming up next, Texans All Access. They'll have you covered for the next couple of hours. For Byron Matthews, appreciate you, big dog. He's Patrick Creighton. I'm Sean Bajani. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
H-Town!